Merry Christmas. Welcome to Rosedale United Church. My name is Mariana Bell, and with me in leadership this morning is Norman Nurmi and Catherine Morrow. I would like to thank Kristen for the opportunity to lead worship this morning, and the congregation of Rosedale United Church for its support and encouragement of my studies. I have now finished 3 of 4 units of the Lay Leadership Worship Leader Program. Rosedale United is a congregation committed to flourishing here in the heart of Rosedale and in our city. We gather to learn, to grow, and to serve. There are very few announcements this morning, other than the church office is closed and will reopen on Friday, January 3rd. For pastoral care, please call Kristen Phillipson. There will always be a minister available. Kristen's phone number is on the back of the bulletin and in the KIT newsletter that was sent out this morning. The Rosedale Center's music and wellness programs start up again in January, and again, check the website or the back of your bulletin for more details. If you would join me in the call to worship. Come into worship and see what God has in store for us today. Come into God's presence and see the difference love makes. Come into the light and see the glory of God. Come and see. Come and see. And now we'll sing Voices United, the Red Hymn Book, number 62, Once in Royal David City. Christ is our peace. He has reconciled us to God in one body by the cross. We meet in his name and share his peace. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Please greet your neighbors and friends and welcome them to church this morning. We light this candle as a symbol of the light of Christ, which cannot be held back by distance, which shines in each one of us, no matter where we are. God of presence and light, we like to imagine that we are bold and strong, that there is nothing that can frighten us, but we are not strangers to trembling. Our doubt leaves us feeling alone and afraid, and our hiding brings much rejection to you and to others. Forgive us, Lord, and help us. Our self-centeredness leaves us feeling deprived and poor, and our grasping results in great need. Forgive us, Lord, and help us. Our short-sightedness leaves us uncertain and insecure, and our lack of listening divides and separates. Forgive us, Lord, and help us. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, we say together, O loving parent, somewhere inside of us, we believe, we trust, and we love. The simple gifts of worship and love that we offer now are tokens of this faith, signs of our thanksgiving, and of our longing to be more bold in following you. May our gifts and our lives be instruments of healing and comfort. For the sake of all in our world who grieve, all who despair, and all who live in want and hatred. In Jesus' name, amen. And before we sing hymn 58, there are two announcements that I'd like to make. One is that Doug Norris will be in the pulpit next Sunday, celebrating Epiphany. And after that, Kristen will be back for the remainder of the month of January. And I would like to extend a special welcome to Joe and William, who are here today on their wedding anniversary. So we'll sing hymn 58, and the title of the tune is not a typo. That is actually the title of the tune.
Thank you.
In lieu of opening the theme today, I would like us to read an excerpt from the United Church of Canada's Song of Faith. It's very appropriate to the season. We find God made known in Jesus of Nazareth, and so we sing of God the Christ, the Holy One embodied. We sing of Jesus, a Jew, born to a woman in poverty in a time of social upheaval and political oppression. He knew human joy and sorrow. So filled with the Holy Spirit was he that in him people experienced the presence of God among them. We sing praise to God incarnate. Jesus announced the coming of God's reign, a commonwealth not of domination, but of peace, justice, and reconciliation. He healed the sick and fed the hungry. He forgave sins and freed those held captive by all manner of demonic powers. He crossed barriers of race, class, culture, and gender. He preached and practiced unconditional love, love of God, love of neighbor, love of friend, love of enemy. And he commanded his followers to love one another as he had loved them. Now I invite Bill Ross forward to read the first reading.
Good morning. Our reading from this morning is from John chapter 1, verses 1 to 18. And in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Through him all things were made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome the light. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him we might all believe. John was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone came into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but children born of God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We have beheld his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me.' Out of his fullness we have all received grace. The law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God except the one and only Son, who is himself God. God is his closest relationship with the Father. May God bless this reading to our understanding."
The second reading is taken from the book of Colossians, chapter 3, verses 12 to 17. "Since you have been chosen by God, who has given you this new kind of life, and because of his deep love and concern for you, you should practice tender-hearted mercy and kindness to others. Don't worry about making a good impression on them, but be ready to suffer quietly and patiently. Be gentle and ready to forgive. Never hold grudges. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Most of all, let love guide your life, for then the whole church will stay together in perfect harmony. Let the peace of heart that comes from Christ be always present in your hearts and lives, for this is your responsibility and privilege as members of his body. And always be thankful. Remember what Christ taught, and let his words enrich your lives and make you wise. Teach them to each other, and sing them out in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing to the Lord with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, let it be as a representative of the Lord Jesus, and come with him into the presence of God the Father to give him your thanks.
Thank you, Bill and Julie. Let us pray. Through the written word and the spoken word, may we know your living word, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The Emperor's New Clothes by Hans Christian Andersen tells of an emperor who cares about nothing except his clothes and spends all his time in his dressing room. One day, two con men arrive in town and tell the king they are weavers who can weave clothes that possess an unusual quality. They became invisible to anyone who was stupid or unfit for the job they did. The swindlers set up a loom and pretend to weave, but in reality, their loom remains empty, and they pocket all the silk and gold they are sent. The emperor, wishing to see how his robes are coming along, sends his cleverest and most trusted minister, who can't see the robes, but keeps quiet about it. He returns to the emperor and tells him the robes are beautiful. The swindlers demand more gold and silk and continue to weave on an empty loom. The emperor sends another of his advisors, but like the first one, he cannot see the cloth, but pretends he can. The emperor decides to go and see the clothes before they are completed, but he cannot see them either. Fearing he is either a fool or unfit to be emperor, he lies about it and declares them to be beautiful. When the swindlers say the clothes are ready, they ask the emperor to remove his old clothes so they can fit him with his new ones. They only pretend to put clothes on him. When the emperor parades through the streets wearing his new clothes, but in reality completely naked, none of the townspeople admit they cannot see the clothes for fear of being accused of being stupid or not fit for the job that they do. Then one child exclaims that the emperor has nothing on and the spell is broken. Everyone takes up the cry, and the illusion of the emperor's new clothes is destroyed. As Christians, we must not follow the emperor in this story. We must have our clothes, and we must put on new clothes. That's what the Apostle Paul said in verse 12 of today's reading. Put on, then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. The words put on is one word in the Greek, which means to clothe and to array yourself. Paul is invoking the metaphor of clothing. He says, as Christians, we should put on new clothes. So it seems that before we go right into what we are to put on, we've got to see why we should have new clothes. Because you have a new identity, because you are now God's children, because you died with Jesus and are raised with him, you are a new person, wonderfully graced, wonderfully loved, and wonderfully favored by God. Paul is saying, this is the amazing grace of God. Remember who you are. Remember you are loved, and therefore put on new clothes. You have a new identity. Christian, you are God's child, chosen, holy, and beloved. Paul says, put on clothes, array yourself, because I told you earlier that you were to put old things away. When you came to church this morning, you put off your old pajamas and put on new clothes for the day. As a new creation in Jesus Christ, dress appropriately. Paul says, put on compassionate hearts and kindness. The word there means benevolence or goodness toward others. You are predisposed towards others' needs and you want to help them in their practical struggles. He says, put on humility, meaning lowliness of mind. It means you are not thinking much about yourself. You are not full of yourself. You esteem others as more important than yourself. Have meekness. Meekness means strength under control, not easily provoked, not irritable, but gentle. And then he says patience. The word there literally means to suffer long or long suffering. Instead of being quick-fused, you bear with others, you suffer long. So this is the imperative, the command. Put on the qualities you need to put on. These are five things, but Paul does not stop with the five. The five nouns are supplemented with another two verbs where he says, bearing with and forgiving one another. The Bible says we are to bear with one another. Do you know why this is? If you think that when you come to church, you will be in utopia, nobody is going to disturb you, everyone is like an angel, you're mistaken. Not all the time. Paul obviously knows that even among the Colossians, they will irritate and offend one another, and we are responsible to bear one another. We are a redeemed people, but we are still under construction. So we will offend one another, and the Christian ethos involves understanding that so we can be compassionate, meek, patient, and bear with one another. What if they really do sin against me? Paul answers, and if one has a complaint, the Bible says you forgive each other. The Greek word charizomai is a more accurate word than forgive. Forgive means to send away. It's the Greek word which means to show grace. To some, this looks absolutely impossible. You may say, I'll forgive him and him and him and her, but not him. What do? If you say you cannot, this is what the Bible says. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. So instead of being fixated on one person's sin against me, Jesus is saying, God says, remember how I have forgiven you, and you must forgive. That is what it means to worship. That is what it means to follow Jesus. It's what it means to be a Christian. It's not doing what you like. It's doing what God wants. These things are what we clothe ourselves with as you put on new clothes. The emperor had no clothes. As Christians, we must put on the clothes of compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with, and forgiving. If this is not enough, it's almost as if he says, let's bring it all together, when he says in a subsequent verse, and above all these, put on love. Put on love. I would say in Colossians 3, verses 12 to 17, which Julie read, Paul does not say how you should do it. He simply lays down the fact that you have to do it, and he doesn't say how. I summarize the attributes into four categories. A, acknowledge. The first thing, if you want to put on compassion or kindness or humility, the first thing to do is A, which stands for acknowledge. Acknowledge I can't do it. And this is important. Say, God commands me to do this, so I do this. B. Then B stands for, A is acknowledging I can't. B is believing God can. It's to believe that God can, after all. God is the one who loved us when we were unlovely. C, call. And so I do what is important in C. I acknowledge I can't. I believe God can. Therefore, now I call out to God in prayer to say, Lord, help me. And finally, what does D stand for? It's the Nike slogan, just do it. But your just do it must come after your A, B, and C, because if you don't acknowledge, believe, and call for help, you just rush into it. It's pointless. It's your own weakness. So when you meet with your irritating colleague or are speaking with someone you don't like in church, you're tempted to blow up or tempted to disengage, you pray, Lord, I need to put on these garments. I can't, but you can. Lord, help me. And show compassion and kindness and patience and bear and forgive the situation. That's what it means to put on your clothes today. Because Paul reminds us we have been graced, privileged to be in a new position and precious to God is why we put on new clothes. We are to put on the new garments, because we are to put off the grave clothes of old and put on the grace clothes for today. There is a goal behind it all, and the goal is given to us in verse 15. When Paul says, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. The peace of Christ is not about some subjective feeling in the heart, but it's about the objective harmony in the church. We are called in one body to such a unity, harmony, and peace among God's people. The peace of Christ here is referring to an objective outcome of harmony and unity in the body of the church. We all do our very best right here, although we are all from different backgrounds. The goal of Jesus Christ is that people from different parts of life would be united as one miraculous, loving body of people. Don't think of Christianity in your life to be thriving and well if you are living in isolation. If all you're interested in is to attend the service, and you come in at 11:10, because that's when the preaching starts, and once I say amen, that's the end. The New Testament does not teach of a Christian who is dissociated from the Christian community. They are assumed to be in the Christian community. You may say, last time I was very committed. I'm not asking you about the last time, but I'm asking you about now. Worship is not about the last time. It's about now. It's about today. Be thankful launches us into a kind of separate but related thought. Paul says, be thankful, and this is the main theme going from verse 15 to verse 7, because thankfulness is repeated three times. And when it's repeated three times in three verses, you better pay attention, right? Hey, honey, switch off the lights. Honey, switch off the lights. Sound familiar? Honey, switch off the lights. If he says it three times, if your husband says it three times, or your partner, you better switch off the lights. God says, be thankful. Be thankful, be thankful. The big idea in verses 15 to 17 is about thankfulness. This is remarkable considering Paul is writing this letter whilst he is in prison. very different circumstance, difficult circumstances. But he's urging the Colossians, be thankful, be thankful, be thankful. All this is to be done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I can't finish this message, but I will, without going to a statement that is nestled in the midst of the repeated command to be thankful. For Paul says in verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing another in all wisdom, singing psalms, hymns, spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. In order for God's people to remain thankful to God, there must be the flourishing of the word of Christ amongst the church. Perhaps the best way of looking at the word of Christ is that it refers to the teachings about Christ, the gospel of Christ, the good news of Jesus Christ, who he is, and what he has done, and what he has promised to do. That is, I think, what Paul is saying. Let this word of Christ, this word of truth, this gospel, dwell in you richly. The word dwell literally is to inhabit, but metaphorically, it is understood to be something that dwells in you to influence you. The idea here is not just to let it dwell a little at a time, but let it dwell in you richly and abundantly. Paul says, let it saturate you, fill you, influence you. But how? Verse 16 in Colossians says, by teaching and admonishing one another. Teaching is about the instructional aspect. Admonishing is about the warning aspect. We teach and we warn one another. This teaching and admonishing, Paul is suggesting, does not need to always be in a lecture form, because you can do that in a musical form, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. I'm suggesting that lessons or statements that you will learn in songs stick with you a lot longer than a sermon. I dare say a lot of you will forget what I preach, but you will remember what we sang this morning. There is a horizontal dimension to singing. It's to one another. Besides that, there's a vertical dimension with thankfulness in your heart to God. So why would you not gather to sing? Why would you come in at 11:10? Because when you come in at 11:10, you do nothing but sit and listen. But when you come at 10:30 and you come earlier to prepare yourself to praise God, you are doing two things. You are doing your part to remind brothers and sisters in Christ about the truths of the song we sing, and you are singing to God in your heart with thankfulness. So let's get dressed for church. It's for church because it's this united church, small U united, that brings glory to God. And to be united, you need that proper dressing. We need to understand grace, how we are first privileged, loved, and set apart. Today, we must aim toward that goal of being a peaceful and thankful people, because that's how we glorify God. And let us unashamedly go toward the gospel of Jesus Christ to let it dwell and influence and control us, that we may glorify him. Amen. And now we sing hymn 38, Angels We Have Heard on High. And I chose this hymn because Gloria LeGros was a longtime member of this church, and she loved this hymn. She said it was her hymn, and when we get to the chorus, you will understand why. She was a lovely, dear lady who contributed a great deal to the life of the church.
Thank you. offering. You are invited to light a candle as a gesture to honor a prayer you are holding up in your heart or an intention you would like to set.
Maybe even a New Year's resolution. You are also invited to give an offering to the life and work of this church. Our offering box is located at the back of the sanctuary. We offer the work of our hands and the love of our hearts, the gifts of God as a blessing for the world.
Thank you. Thank you, Catherine. That was beautiful. And Norm, too. The husband always gets left out. And now for the prayers of the community. Dear God, our Creator, who sent an infant to us that we might see your face, help us to see you in others, to seek you in words and in deeds, and love you as a parent and brother. When we fall short of loving our neighbors and forget to see your face in doing compassionate works for others, forgive us for passing by the needy, the sick, and the tired. Send your spirit to us to be your hands on earth. May our prayers reach all corners of the earth and all corners of our city, where your peace is a distant idea and fervently hoped for. God, our Creator and Redeemer, bless the people of Sudan, Gaza, Israel, Ukraine, and Russia. And let their governments find strength and a way to peace through you. Let there be light. Open our hearts to wonder. Perish the way of terror. Hallow the world God made. Amen. And now for a little bit of spunky singing, we're going to sing There's a Star in the East. Loving Father, help us remember the birth of Jesus, that we may share in the song of the angels, the gladness of the shepherds, and the worship of the wise men. Close the door of hate and open the door of love all over the world. Let kindness come with every gift and good desires with every greeting. As we leave this sanctuary to go into a new year, 2025, may God, the Holy Child, and the Holy Spirit guard us and guide us wherever we go. And now we sing a blessing to one another.